All right, let's go ahead and start. I know that there are a number of you already on, and as others join, hopefully they will know that these meetings are recorded and are available for investors to see on the website, which is the Omni website, which I'm sure many of you are already familiar with. And that is the Omni Agent Solutions website, where the debtors docket and information regarding the debtor, as well as information posted by the committee, is available for your review. This is a town hall run largely by the official committee of unsecured creditors and its professionals who are on this call today in the NRIA bankruptcy proceeding in the New Jersey Bankruptcy Court in Newark. We have a number of professionals on the call today. We're trying to keep it down to an hour for obvious reasons to maintain both the costs down as well as information to be as compact and concise as possible. So on the call with me today, I am Louis DeLucia of Ice Miller, counsel to the Official Committee of Unsecured Creditors. And with me is my colleague, Michael Ott, who will also partially discuss the proof of claims as well as other issues, I'm sure, from Ice Miller in our Chicago office. We also may have others who are not speaking but participating on the call, such as may speak, however, Dan Polachek, Allison Fiedler, and others may join. Also on the phone are financial advisors and restructuring advisors to the committee, Alvarez and Marcel. We have Andrea Gonzalez, we have Hamir Vaid, and potentially others who may join as questions are raised. We also may have investigators, Richard Barry and Greg Coleman, on the call as well. So many of the calls and information and inquiries we receive, both by email or otherwise, are focused largely on proofs of claims. We know that there is a December 20th approaching date for the deadline by which to file claims. We know that there are many complicated questions that people ask that are specific to your specific investment, and sometimes we just simply can't answer, largely because the investment and the documents have to be specifically reviewed as to your situation. But we did have a town hall previously that addressed some of the proof of claims. We wanted to revisit some of that based upon the inquiries we received. Some people clearly did not attend that, and we wanted to give a quick overview of what was discussed at the last call on the last town hall regarding proofs of claim. So Michael Ott, who is on the call and a member of the Ice Miller team, will revisit the proof of claim process for us quickly, and then we'll go on with the rest of the agenda, which will include a case update on recent case developments. It will include some discussion of important upcoming dates in addition to the December 20th date. It will give Alvarez will provide a quick real estate update regarding where we are on the real estate efforts of the CRO and the company. We'll give a very brief overview of the investigation piece regarding the subpoenas and the discovery and depositions that are contemplated, and the pending litigation and developments in that pending litigations. And then we'll address some of the questions we received in the portal regarding the WebEx questions that were raised. So let's start with a quick overview of the proof of claim process, Mike, if you don't mind, and,
sure,
and we'll try to address questions as well. Mike's going to give an overview, but we will have answers to some of your questions now and later. So don't fret if it's just an overview right now. So go ahead, Mike.
Can everybody hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm going to share my screen really quickly just to go through the Omni website, just to kind of show where to file proofs of claim as we go forward. The first thing I'm going to point out is as Louis mentioned, we did previously give a full hour-long town hall devoted just to the proof of claim filing process. And the video for that town hall is located on the Omni website. And actually, all the recordings of all of the prior town halls are also located on the Omni website. So let me show you really quickly where you can get that, just so you're aware. So if you're on the Omni front page for the NRIA case, you can scroll down here to the creditors committee box on the right-hand side. And you'll note that there is a creditors committee town halls link. If you click on that link, it brings you to a page. You've probably been here before to register for this meeting. But right here under each of the prior town halls, there's a link at the end for the audio, and actually for the proof of claim town hall, a link for the video recording of that town hall, where you can watch. In that town hall, we answered basically all the questions that we can answer, which unfortunately is not as many questions as I know everybody has. It's an unfortunate limitation based on representing the committee and not individual creditors. In terms of filing a proof of claim, the way to do that from the front page, from any page, basically on the NRIA bankruptcy page, is to go to the claims window here, click on submit proof of claim or interest. That'll bring you to this screen right here. If you scroll down, submit a claim online by eClaims. The first thing you need to do if you haven't already is you need to create an account. You can follow the instructions here. Click on this link. It'll take you to this page here. This is where you can create an account, fill in your name, email address, create a password. You'll receive an email to verify your email address. Then you can come back and log in and file your proof of claim. Now, there are two ways to file proofs of claim on the Omni website. The first is to submit a claim online by uploading. So if you have basically, if you took the form that the debtors sent in the mail and you've filled it out by hand and you've collected all of your documentation, all of your, written agreements, all the supporting documents, and you scan it up into a single file, then you would come here to this page and submit proof of claim online by file upload. You would click on this button right here. That'll bring you to this page where you can basically put in your name, email address, and phone number. And then you click here. I'm not going to do that right now, but if you click here, it'll bring up a window for you to load the PDF file of your proof of claim. You then have to click on I am not a robot and hit submit, and it should upload. One thing to keep in mind is the file has to be no larger than 10 megabytes, but you can just have one PDF file of your entire claim and supporting documents this way. Essentially, that's the same as if you mailed it in. The other way to do it, which I think is probably the easier way, is to come here to submit a proof of claim to the... let's see, hold on. I have it open. Here we go. It's to the eClaims screen. Now, this is a fillable form where you can basically take all the information that is on the proof of claim form that you received in the mail and input it into these forms to make sure that it's submitted and all the information is there. So the first thing here is you have this first box here. This will allow you to click down. You have to file a separate proof of claim individually against each debtor against whom you have a proof of claim. This is where you would do that. So if you have a claim against Briney Capital 305 LLC, you'd start by clicking on that one. You come down here, you have to put your name in. Any other names that have been used, you can just fill this information in with your full name. If the claim is on behalf of some trust or something like that, then you would put the trust name in here. If the claim has been acquired from somebody else after the pendency of the bankruptcy case, or otherwise, you would click yes, then you can fill this information in. The next box down is notices and payments. This is where you put in your address and telephone number and email address so that information is readily available for the debtors. If you want to receive notices in the bankruptcy case, this is where you would go to change your address, to add your address, just to make sure you're receiving those notices. If you have an international address, you would click here and it'll bring down a country box right here so you can fill in more information. If you would like the payments to be sent to a different address than the notice address, then you would just fill this in from this box in here. Otherwise, you don't have to fill in this box. Uniform claim identifier for electronic payments into Chapter 13. I know I'm not giving individual advice, but this is not a Chapter 13 bankruptcy case. You can ignore this box. This is box 3C. Amendments. This is claim or interest, amend one already filed. So if you've already filed a proof of claim, and you want to file an amendment to the proof of claim, the way to do that is essentially to file a new proof of claim. But here in this amendment box, you click this box, and to the extent you know it, you put the number of your prior claim in here to amend it. And then then the one thing you do need to include, even if you don't know the number of your proof of claim, you need to put in a reference to the date on which you filed your prior claim. Previous filing, if somebody else has filed a claim for you, then you would click this and fill that out. identity of the debtor, you probably don't need to worry about this. This is basically for vendors that, you know, have assigned an account number to the debtors. I don't think that's likely to be a scenario that's going to apply here. Total amount of the claim. Now, we can't give you individual advice on how much to assert for your individual claim. Everybody should be, if they haven't already, should try to talk with an attorney or an accountant who can go through your documents and who can calculate out the amount, the full amount of your claim or interest, and tell you what amount you should be asserting. You want to assert everything you can. Now, to the extent that later on there is a disagreement about the amount that you're allowed claim, that your claim should be allowed in, an objection will be filed. The filing of an objection basically starts a conversation between the objector and the creditor to determine what the right amount of that claim is and basically reset it at that right amount. If the parties aren't able to work out a consensual arrangement, a consensual settlement of that amount, then it would go before the court, and the court would ultimately determine what that amount would be. This is not a case where if you don't put the right amount in and don't get everything right the first time, you'll just lose your claim. This is not an all or nothing thing. You need to file a proof of claim. You need to file a proof of claim against every debtor in which you have a claim against, and you need to do your best to fill in all the information. But making an error or putting in the wrong number for your claim amount is not going to be the death knell of your claim. There will be a process to correct that. If you are including any charges, one thing you do need to include is you need to include a schedule, basically a chart, either an Excel file if it's printed out or whatnot, that lists all of the individual charges and breaks down your claim by the principal amount of the investments, any interest that you believe you are entitled to, anything else, that needs to be included separately. You can't just have the one number at the top. In proof of claim or interest, question 8, what is the basis of the claim or interest? This is just a short place for you to put a narrative explanation of why you believe you're entitled to the money. Could be something like, investment made or, breach of contract, something like that. Talk with your attorney as to what is most appropriate for your claim. If you are filing an interest, proof of interest, which as investors, most of you probably are, you would need to fill this information out to list all of the debtors in which you invested, the dates of your investment, the total amounts of your investment, and any guarantors of your investment. If you keep scrolling down here, there is a window, a box. If you are a party to a joint venture agreement with the debtor, first off, make sure you include that in the supporting documents you submit. But you need to list the names of all the debtors against whom you believe you have a joint with whom you believe you have a joint interest agreement. Once you fill this particular box out, there's a place here for you to upload supporting documents with respect to this, and make sure you have everything. I did just see a question come across as to whether or not you can lose your claim if you don't submit supporting documents. If you don't submit supporting documents, yes, your claim can be lost. You need to make sure to submit as many supporting documents as you can. To the extent you don't have supporting documents, you will likely have an opportunity to correct that. I can't say for certain. Do everything you can to get as many of your supporting documents in as possible, but just do your best, frankly. You're not going to just be summarily dismissed immediately because you didn't attach one particular document you have. There will be a discussion on that. If that is an issue, you will likely be contacted. If you don't respond, then you could lose your claim, but there will be an opportunity to try and correct that. Secured. Is all or part of your claim secured? Again, talk with your individual attorney. They'll be able to tell you whether or not you have any secured claim, secured portion of your claim, basically any mortgage or security interest that you can assert here. I can't go into that too much, but if you believe that's something you may have, I would recommend talking to your individual attorney who can tell you whether that's correct or not. And then you would fill in the information here if you believe you have that, and you would attach any supporting documents here with respect to that. If you have a lease or you believe you have some sort of right of set off, a right of set off is, for example, if you owe the debtor money and the debtor owes you money back, that would be a set off. Your own individual attorneys can explain that fuller, but this is where you would put that information. Question 12 is not going to be relevant in this case for 99% of investors. It relates to basically delivering goods to the debtor before the bankruptcy case began. Again, you should talk to your individual attorneys just to make sure it doesn't apply to you, but it's not likely to. Priority. Similar to secured claims, if you believe you have any sort of right to priority under the bankruptcy code, you should talk to your individual attorney. They can tell you whether or not you're correct. And if your individual attorney or if you believe you're correct, they'll explain how to fill out this section. Once you've filled out all those sections, once you have uploaded all the PDFs at the end of each section, you can come here to the signature box, fill this in. If you are the individual signing this, then you click here. If you're if you're the agent for a company that is signing for this, you click here. You put the date in here, you type in your name, and then you can complete the address information here again. And then once you are done with all of that, the next thing that you do is you go back to the very top and you read through everything that you just filled in just to make sure you didn't make any mistakes. Just go through it one box at a time, read everything, make sure it's correct. Once you've gone down and you're satisfied that everything is correct, that all the documents have been appropriately uploaded, then you can go ahead and hit the submit button, at which point you will come to a screen telling you that your proof of claim has been received. You should receive an email notification notifying you of that and memorializing that, and also giving you a claim number. Once you have a claim number, you can come to the Omni website. You should be able to come to the Omni website at least and search the proofs of claim by number to find your proof of claim, or by name to find your proof of claim. That is the mechanics of filing a proof of claim on the Omni website. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Lewis, is there anything else you believe I should cover on proofs of claim?
No, that's helpful, Michael. Thank you. One quick question I think people have asked, and maybe you addressed it, but I don't know if it's easily answered, is if you have claim against multiple debtors, so you have a claim against NRA, you have a claim against the fund, you have a claim against one of the property debtors, how do they do that on Omni?
Yeah. So there is no way on Omni to select multiple debtors when you file a proof of claim. You can only select one at a time. So what you would need to do if you want to file claims against multiple debtors is you would need to basically fill out the form multiple times, each time selecting a different debtor as you complete it. That is the only way to actually file against multiple debtors.
Thank you, Michael. I think that answers that question. We will have additional questions in that we receive through the portal that we will address. Michael has a couple of those covered as well, but we'll cover a few more during that call, during that list as we go through the questions. But let me go through quickly a summary of other issues in the case and an update on the case. So, recent case developments. We had, as you know, a meeting of creditors run by the United States Trustee on December 5th in Newark. That meeting has been recorded. We have the recording. We were there physically. That recording is going to be posted on the Omni website very shortly. We have access to that. The debtor, meaning NRIA and its professionals, are actually coordinating with Omni to upload it. But we have access to that transcript, and the recording, and we've seen it. It was a full day discussion of the case. The two individuals who testify were the CRO and the CFO of the company. And it was informative as to all the schedules, the assets, liabilities. I recommend that you all take some time. It's a long recording. Take some time to listen to it. But we certainly have been working with the debtors on all the issues to which they testified. So as I mentioned, the 341 meeting of creditors is now what's called closed. That means there will not be another meeting of creditors under 341 of the Bankruptcy Code run by the United States Trustee. So don't expect another U.S. Trustee meeting of creditors. It's not a periodic thing. Once they call the end of those meetings and then they close it, that's the end of the meeting of creditors. Other major case updates include that we have been working and have delivered to the debtors a plan term sheet. That plan term sheet is a draft of an outline of how we could attempt to restructure the company in order to get out of the bankruptcy in a way that would restructure slash liquidate assets in order to maximize the return to investors. It is a work in process, and that's why you don't have it yet. It is something we have to work through with the company, but we have drafted it. We have outlined it in conjunction and collaboration with the financial advisors, Alvarez and Marcel, to structure a vehicle and plan by which certain of the properties will be developed, certain of the properties will be sold, obviously based upon an ultimate determination by the CRO and its and the company and its board, but in consultation with us, in order to maximize the return to all of you. Any shortfall we would hope would be supplemented by recoveries out of litigation, which we'll talk about in a moment. That term sheet is complicated. It is going to be translated essentially by the debtors into a plan. The plan will be accompanied by a disclosure statement. That disclosure statement will give and is required to give in a narrative form a description of how the company will be restructured, what it means to you, how each class of creditor will be treated. That includes investors, trade creditors, people with just guarantees, people with joint venture agreements. Each class will be categorized. Each one will be described how they will be treated. Each one will be told from what pot of money they will be paid. Amounts may not be clear yet because some of the property will be sold, liquidated, and some will be developed. Some, those that require development or to maximize value may require time. That means the ultimate distribution may take some time to get to that. Those that are require supplementing by litigation, the litigation will have to be successful before we get those recoveries. But that is in process, that plan, because we want to get out of the bankruptcy as fast as we can to minimize the costs of the bankruptcy, to get onto the business of just generating recoveries and making distributions. So that is in process. Timing. Timing is simple. We are attempting, we've already discussed this with the debtors, we're attempting with them to have something on file in January as in terms of a plan. We're hoping, no guarantee, but we're hoping because it's a large document, a lot of negotiation amongst multiple parties, but hopefully January with an outside date of May or so of emerging from bankruptcy. That means having a plan confirmed, having the structure of the company going forward slash liquidating over time out of after May. That will all be in documents you will see. You'll have a right to review as allowed creditors and investors and have a right to vote on. So you will not be out of the process, you are in the process. Each person will have a right to vote, to accept, reject, to the extent they have allowed claims. And that will be tallied and the court will consider objections and the court will rule on that plan and disclosure statement. So that's upcoming. There have been, however, since the last town hall, a number of motions that were filed. Not less than five or six motions that were material have been filed. I'll quickly walk through them. On November 8th, there was a hearing later on November 29th. The court approved the entry of essentially a consent order with the debtors, meaning NRIA, and the New Jersey Bureau of Securities, in which the company essentially acknowledged and agreed that, or it acknowledged with the right to contest it. They basically said, we recognize that you're saying this and we're not going to contest it right now, but we're reserving rights as to the allegations that they committed securities fraud, et cetera, largely the actions by the Grabato, Salzano, and others. That consent order has been filed, it's on the docket, and is available on Omni for free. It doesn't do anything except stop any future sales of securities, except in the context of a bankruptcy, and it stops any further illegal sales or investment fraud by the company. In addition to that, a motion was filed by a broker, one of the larger brokers, Compass, for payment of its commission For fees paid. We had initially, at the very beginning of the case, put a freeze on that because we didn't want funds going out to insiders related to Salzano. Salzano's son, that's Thomas Nicholas Salzano, works at Compass, and the fear there was that funds could be diverted. That is in negotiation. That motion is ongoing. It's not been resolved, but the payment also has not been made to Compass yet. But they have filed a motion for that sum, and we have not consented to that yet. So that is still pending and is ongoing. The same is true with respect to a motion to compel assumption or rejection on a certain property known as 203 Third LLC. That property, that motion is on for the 20th, and the debtor is in discussion with the CRO regarding what to do with that property. Another motion was filed by the Porzio Bromberg firm for payment of substantial contribution fees regarding their services in connection with work for certain investors. That has been adjourned for 90 days. In addition, there's a larger motion or a motion on for January 3rd by the debtors for authority to sell a particular property in Philadelphia, 127 North 23rd. That motion is on for January 3rd. That's not particularly controversial. There is, however, in that motion, a request for authority by NRIA to establish a process by which they can sell condos on a regular basis so they don't have to go back every week or month for a new motion for a property, each condo, for example, to be sold, they'd have to file a motion. And they'd rather not do that, save some money, save time, and get a process where the committee says, we've looked at that sale, we've looked at the condo, we looked at the buyer, we looked at the price, and it looks okay, doesn't seem like any fraud, doesn't look like it's below market, looks like it's fair, etc., so that we can have some input on the sale, but they don't have to go to court every time. So that process is pending. You have a right to look at it, a right to see that motion, a right to object to that motion. And that's on the docket. It's docket 1708, and it is on for January 3rd, if you want to see it. It's not particularly complicated, but it is there. Some interesting side issues related to motions and litigation. So I'll dovetail the two. There is, as you know, pending litigation by the SEC against NRIA and others, including, for example, Coley O'Brien, Thomas Nicholas Elzano, Arthur Scaturo, and others. That is in the United States District Court for New Jersey, case number 22-6066. And in that lawsuit, obviously, they're asserting securities violations, etc. Not surprising, we knew that was filed. We told you, I think, in one of our prior town halls, we discussed it. However, not surprisingly also, an application was made today by the United States to intervene, meaning the Department of Justice, separate from the SEC, to intervene and stay that SEC litigation. That is common, where the Department of Justice seeks to stay civil litigation. The SEC action is civil. The DOJ is criminal. They have pending criminal actions against Salzano and others, and they want the SEC action to be stayed so the testimony, et cetera, actions within the civil action doesn't impair their ability to get criminal prosecution. So that's pending. It was just filed, actually, within the last day or so. And you could also see that on the docket at 22-6066 in New Jersey District Court. But that was just filed very recently. There are, as you may know, certain pending adversary proceedings, lawsuits commenced by the debtor, a couple against the debtor, in the bankruptcy court. One is of import, is the National Realty Investment Advisors versus Gravato and others. That in that case, we analyzed certain aspects, worked with the debtors, and agreed to allow default judgment against Gravato and Nick Salzano and Olena Budinska, his wife, which was entered on November 16th against them just for one particular claim that totals about $423,000. And that was entered by the bankruptcy court. That's important only because, number one, these defendants, the Gravatos, Sazan, and others, are not really appearing in these cases. They appear to be not really defending for obvious reasons. They're probably subject to the Fifth Amendment, don't want to assert their claims, etc. So these are going to default. But either way, that enables the estate, NRIA, to start executing on assets of Gravato and others. It's a small number, but it starts, we hope, the trickle and waterfall of additional claims against them. We are, of course, investigating extraordinarily far more claims against individuals. In this case, we have a chart of subpoenas that has been assembled. We have in excess of 40 subpoenas issued and served. We've been working intensely on discovery regarding discovery to be coming from U.S. Construction, one of the entities named in the Bureau of Security's consent order, as well as other pleadings. And through Dustin Salzano, affiliated indirectly with the debtors because of the Salzano relationship. They did a lot of work, as you know, and we're investigating the financial and legal relationship of the two. We have discussed tentative depositions, and we are in the process of negotiating discovery production, which is ongoing and coming in, we hope, very shortly. And we are having a hearing on disputed issues regarding U.S. construction discovery on the 20th before the bankruptcy court in Newark. And that is, if you want to listen to an interesting hearing, that might be an interesting one to listen into, to hear some of the allegations regarding Salzano, U.S. construction, and the others, where we hope to delve into what happened. And there are a lot of facts that will be discussed there that might be enlightening. So that's the status of that discovery. Okay, so let's talk about important upcoming dates to keep us on track. We have the December 20th bar date, of course. You all know that. We just talked about the proof of claim bar date process. That's the next one. It's 5 p.m. Eastern, by the way. So if you haven't gotten your claim filed, file it through the Omni website, as Mike explained. Plan exclusivity, February 2nd, 2023. That is the deadline by which the debtor... I shouldn't say deadline. That's the date by which, in which the debtor has the exclusive period. Only it can file a plan. We can't file a plan. You can't file a plan of reorganization in the case. But of course, in a case like this and in many other cases, the debtor is working with us and we are helping on the drafting and advising on the plan to maximize your interests. And that is in negotiation, as I discussed earlier. But that date may be extended for purposes of making sure that no one else, such as U.S. Construction, such as Salzano, or anyone else, comes in and tries to file their own plan. In a bankruptcy case, any party in interest can file a plan if the debtor doesn't do so within its exclusive period. We want to preserve that. So we are working with them on that now. Upcoming hearings, I told you about the hearings, the December 14th hearing today. There was a hearing on the YMCA contract, which remains in negotiation. That's a contract for property in, I believe, Hackensack area. That is under negotiation. I told you about the December 20th and the January 3rd hearings. Those are the next hearing dates coming up. I think now we'll turn briefly to a very quick summary to Alvarez and Marcel regarding a real estate update. Again, it'll be summary for purposes of this, so you have a quick update. And I would turn now to Hamir or Andrew, whoever, I think it is Hamir, will be taking over regarding the real estate summary. Thank you, Hamir.
Great. Thanks, Louis. Good afternoon, all. Hamir Ved, Alvarez and Marcel at Real Estate Update today. So just to recap from our last discussion, we had talked about in our last town hall meeting about the real estate strategy and the evaluation, as well as the appraisals for each of the properties ongoing. So I'd like to press on that and provide you a further update on the progress we have made, as well as the work accomplished over the last couple of months since the last meeting. So I'd like to talk about three things today. One, the external appraisals. Two, the internal analyses that NRIA or the debtors are completing. And three, A&M's evaluation collectively across those appraisals and internal analyses. So briefly as it relates to the appraisals. At this time, we have received almost all of the appraisals for the individual properties under NRIA's management currently. Those appraisals have three different scenarios in most cases. One, the as-is values. So if you were hypothetically to create today, what that value would look like, depending on the status of the property approved or not by the city authorities. Two, the upon completion values. So if you were to undertake this project and complete it as built, what would that value look like? And then finally, upon stabilization values, which means if you were to hold that asset and generate some rent roll or income based on occupancy, what that value looks like. So that's been completed. The CRO and the COO at NRIA have been pushing along with an external party, an appraisal firm that has completed this for them. In parallel, we had also suggested, and they've done this on their own, the debtors have worked with brokers externally, the big three, so CBRE, JLL, and some local brokers, to solicit some in parallel as-is values to validate against the appraisals, right? So the appraisals are based on appraisers, highest and best use. Brokers are coming in, giving some local market intelligence just to validate this. So that's ongoing. We're working collaboratively with the debtors and helping them build out their buy property strategy based on this information. The second piece is the internal analyses. So NRIA or the debtors are working on their internal work and valuation based on what they know of the construction projects, what they know of the actual property conditions. And using the appraisals, broker opinion of values and benchmarks, they're also standing up internally what they believe would be the quantitative analysis for each of these projects. Why that's important is in this context, the CRO is writing up qualitative memos and recommendations by property, which they plan to bring to the debtors board in the coming weeks. That process has begun. And once they have made recommendations supported by the internal and external analyses completed, we will expect to have access to that information as well to provide additional information and updates. Finally, on the A&M side, as we've been working on these different tracks with the debtors, we expect to complete our independent evaluation. We're waiting on some of the internal work that the debtors are completing currently. We are reviewing the appraisals and the broker opinion of values. For the most part, we have gone through a large set of that information received, and we will be standing up our own independent analyses on what these values collectively and independently by property mean. So that was basically, a quick fire update I wanted to cover off. We will, thank you for your patience and allow us the process in this. So if you have any questions, we'll follow the protocol. And with that, I'll hand it back to you, Lewis.
Thank you, Hamir. We should have, as Hamir stated, material developments in the real estate front very, very shortly that will be part of the plan process. So that will be visible and more transparent in short order from the debtor side particularly. All right, so in terms of the investigation and subpoena issues, I just want to quickly see if I can do this. I'm not good at sharing, so please bear with me. I hope I'm doing this right. So let's see. Can you all see the screen now? Can you see the chart? So this is essentially the schedule of the many subpoenas that are outstanding. You'll see they've been served, they've been issued, and we are awaiting additional information for certain of them. You'll see accounting firms, individuals, banks, and other companies affiliated with the debtor's business that we have subpoenaed, and these are all going to be producing information. We have in excess of 7 million documents in hand. that gives you an idea of the volume of information that we have to go through. So that is in process, and it is going to be a monumental task to assemble claims and information based upon that document set. But that will be over a period of time. It'll be preserved, and all claims against these individuals we preserve and entities will be preserved in connection with this litigation during the plan process, but they won't be necessarily begun until some investigation pursuant to what's called Bankruptcy Rule 2004 is completed. As I mentioned, we anticipate beginning deposition, sworn testimony under oath, where those transcripts may become partially available because of certain confidentiality issues in late January, February, where they will be under oath and either answer questions or take the fifth, who knows. We are negotiating a protective order and confidentiality agreement with the debtors. We do have a confidentiality agreement in place, but there's a protective order needed to protect certain financial information so that the banks can start sharing and others will start sharing information with us, knowing that it has private, personally identifiable information that can't go on the docket, for example. So that protective order we have already shared with the debtors. We're waiting for their comments, and I'm sure we'll get that entered very shortly. I discussed already the U.S. construction subpoena and dispute. So we discussed that, and we discussed depositions. So that's where we are on the investigation piece. We have Alvarez, who is very much in the weeds on the information, as well as Rick Barry and Greg Coleman, on the investigation that's been going on. They've doorstepped, they've knocked on doors, they've met witnesses, all of that in a 50-page, single-spaced written report that we get updated weekly on the information, but that's too much to cover on this call. But it will translate into claims and causes of actions and theories of recovery against individuals that we think should be very fruitful for this estate. We've identified certain claims already that we think will be fruitful. All right, so let's talk about the questions that have been posed. One question that was, posed, Mike, that you might be able to answer. It's regarding the claims, but let's go through this in order anyway. Okay, so first question from the portal on WebEx. Will any of the parties involved be held accountable? The answer is yes. In addition to already pending criminal actions against certain individuals by the federal government, as well as civil proceedings by the New Jersey Bureau of Securities and the SEC, we are pursuing these individuals on your behalf, on behalf of all the, meaning that we're investigating the claims. Legally, the creditors committee and the creditors committee itself does not have standing, meaning the authority to actually bring these actions until it is granted authority by the bankruptcy court, which is part of the plan we're trying to negotiate, is to have us have the authority through the bankruptcy plan, through the confirmation order and or a trust formed thereafter to pursue claims against these individuals. But those include, I'll put them in buckets for you, those who committed the actual acts of fraud, those who aided and abetted the fraud, and there are many of those we believe who may exist. Those who, for example, profited from it by soliciting investors, feeder funds, folks who called you and spoke to you about the investment saying they're secure, don't worry about it, and got compensated by a percentage of your investment. Those folks may be targets. Received fraudulent transfers, those entities or individuals who received cash for no reason at all, were diverted through straw entities that we're identifying, that went through these entities then out to them, that might have been kickbacks to others' principals at the company, all of which we're tracing down. Alvarez is pursuing the banking trail and account trail of these individuals to get those assets. Those who might have For example, engage in construction with a company through U.S. construction or otherwise, who might have, and we don't know this for sure, we're still getting the information on these receipts, these invoices, these change orders with the company that might have, for example, inflated bills in order to take some of the cash and then divert it off someplace else. It's a common practice among schemes like this. So we're investigating that. So the answer is yes, it's not just the bad guys. So the bad guys are obvious targets. It's everybody they transfer to, everybody they interacted with that supported them. They will all be brought before us for questions. Claims will be analyzed, and they'll be sued if they are liable. That's all there is to it. And we're gonna, until you are fit paid in full, we will chase this. So that effort. Okay. So next question: can you please go over the exact method for revising or an existing claim? I think that Mike addressed that for doing an amendment and the drop down, and he showed you how to do the amendment to the claim. Can the proof of claim be filed both online and also mailed? The answer is yes. It will be treated, however, as a duplicate claim and may later be challenged as a duplicate claim, meaning that you can't have two claims, but you can have one claim, and if it's a duplicate of the other, there will likely be an objection filed where only one will survive if it's an allowed claim. But that's that. All right. Next, when is the restructuring all going to be completed? Should we claim the interest as well? I mentioned the plan term sheet. I mentioned the plan filing. It contemplated early next year. Confirmation process, I mentioned theoretically through May, hoping that the dates are able to be met. But as to whether or not you should claim your interest, you should speak, because we don't know what document you have, we don't know what document you're referring to, it would be ill-advised for us to say, claim your interest. You need to speak to your own counsel who has the documents in front of them, who could review them with you and advise whether or not it's appropriate. What is the current value of the fund today and the estimate of the build-out value? I think Hamir talked about the appraisals coming in. We're analyzing them with the debtors. We do have valuations, and we're working with them on that assessment. The CRO is not completely done on what is being built out and not being built out. Hamir mentioned that, but that information will be available in relatively short order. How can we contact NRAA accountants to resolve issues with K-1s issued? As I mentioned, you know, in the past, in many correspondence with many of you, we are not involved. The committee, nor its counsel or professionals, are involved in the K-1s. Unfortunately, that was entirely done by the debtors and the NRA financial advisors, Eisner Amper. And those are the ones, unfortunately, that you have to try to contact. We have attempted to facilitate that. We talked to them about putting up an explanatory statement on the Omni website. That was done, but it certainly doesn't answer all your questions, and we know that. But they should be reachable, and I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I would also say that they did come on one of the prior town halls.
They did.
And discuss the K-1s. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this, all of the prior town halls are available to listen to on the Omni website. I believe that town hall that they were on was the October 12th town hall, where they discussed the K-1s.
And that is recorded, right?
Yeah. It is recorded, and you go on Omni to the Investor Town Hall website, and you should be able to listen to that.
Next is, when is the next town hall scheduled? The next town hall schedule is being scheduled. It will be on the website. It's going to be in February, and it will be posted on the Omni website shortly. We'll give you the exact date in February shortly on the Omni website. You know where to find it. Look for it there. When I search my claim numbers, there are other claims that have the same number, albeit in a different case number. We will confirm with Omni that that doesn't create a problem, but it is probably a just a technical aspect of the Omni docketing system regarding the different cases. I'm not sure it makes a difference, but we will confirm with Omni that there is no impairment with that. Can I amend the initial claim that was submitted a long time ago? The answer, as you saw from Mike, is how to do that on the website. What dollar amount should we use to file the claim? That is clearly up to you as to what you believe you're invested, what you invested, what you're owed as a creditor or investor or otherwise. And if you have any questions about it, unfortunately, you do have to speak to your own advisors. Which box do I check on Exhibit A, the first box or the second? National Realty Investment Advisors, LLC, or NRIA Partners portfolio? As I mentioned, you do. We can't answer that because we don't know what your claim is exactly. We don't have your documents. We don't know anything except that you have a question about it. But if you have a guarantee or a document, for example, from NRIA that says you are owed money by NRIA or they guarantee their return, then file a claim against NRIA. And if you invested in the fund, file a claim against the fund and do separate claims if you have to. Although it's going to be more work to cull through claims, you should err on the side, and this is just advice that is general advice, not specific to you, so speak to your own advisor. But my general advice is if you have a claim that you believe you have, don't shortchange yourself. File what you believe you're owed against the entities you believe you're owed, and let the process cull out what may not be appropriate. Don't self-edit if you feel you are self-editing. If you believe you're owed a claim, file your claim. Don't lose your right to a claim. I have an executory contract with the debtor not rejected yet. Do I still have to submit the claim by December 20 for my deposit to deliver apartment? Generally, no. However, most of the time, once a contract is rejected by order or otherwise, there's a period of time, often 30 days by order, that says you have 30 days to file your proof of claim for rejection damages, they're called, under 365 of the bankruptcy code, so that you can file your claim after it's rejected, because that's when you finally just heard it's being rejected. That is the usual process. As a bankruptcy practitioner, I nevertheless file a protective proof of claim even before the bar date, even before my claim, my contract is rejected. And I say, here's my contract. Here's what I have, a relationship with the debtor. It may be rejected, it may not. I reserve rights. I am owed money under this contract. And if I don't get paid and if it's rejected, I have a right to assert that claim. And I do that before the 20th. So there's like belts and suspenders. So if that's what you feel you want to do, speak to your own counsel. But as a bankruptcy lawyer, that's what I would do for my clients. 12.5 CFO used the phrase phantom interest, not contractual return, to describe reinvested proceeds. How can this misconception be corrected? This is a legal issue. It's not really a misconception. Maybe it's a misnomer in terms of how one may interpret it, but it's being analyzed, and it may impact the treatment of all the creditors in this case, that those who fall into this bucket. And it will affect what is allowed and not allowed. But it's a legal issue that we are working through with the debtors as to how certain returns are being treated under the plan. That plan term sheet we told you about has certain treatments that we're working through with them. And it will be in the plan and the disclosure statement on how those are going to be treated. Is restructuring plan finalized? When do we see the plan details? Any current estimates of assets and liabilities? As I mentioned, that is in drafting. We would anticipate the plan disclosure statement containing that kind of information. And the disclosure statement certainly will have information regarding estimated asset values. It will have what's called a liquidation analysis, which is an analysis of essentially, had the company been liquidated, what you'd receive. It may have a anticipated return to investors, not a guaranteed return, because some of the properties may require development, which would generate a return. And it also be tied to litigation, the outcome of which we don't know yet, which will also be affecting your return. So it won't have a guaranteed return, but it may have estimates. And that's what the plan and disclosure statement certainly will have. Should we be filing two separate claims for two different investment funds or only one claim? How to get the uniform claim identifier, then the sentence drops off. I don't have really insufficient information for that question, but like I mentioned earlier, if you have a claim, you believe you have a claim against one and a claim against the other, file both.
And just to add my 2 cents, if you mean the uniform claim identifier that is listed on the proof of form claim, as we discussed earlier, that applies to Chapter 13 debtors. It's a part of the formal form. It shouldn't apply here. So you don't need to worry about that.
Thanks, Mike. When filing a claim, how should a joint venture agreement with NRA be valued? Again, we can't give an idea of what that value would be or what it would be. Depends upon your joint venture agreement. We don't have that. There are multiple kinds of joint ventures in this case, so it's another reason why we can't specifically answer that. There are dollar value joint, there are dollar joint venture agreements, we call them. There are lender joint venture agreements, and there are title on title joint venture agreements, as we call them. So there are more than one type of joint venture agreement. So that's why that's very difficult to answer. But I can tell you this generally, that speak to your counsel. But it would not surprise me if your counsel were to say, for example, any and all amounts due under the joint venture agreement, I am making a claim for. And let the estate and you work out what that means. So in other words, don't put in a specific dollar amount if you don't know the dollar amount. Just say, I have a joint venture agreement. Here's my joint venture agreement. Here's what I believe is owed. But, you know, any amounts due under this agreement, I am making a claim for. Now, speak to your counsel about that. Don't take it from me. Look at the documents. But generally speaking, that's how I'd approach it for me. When do I get my refund? Under the plan, it's not really a refund. It's a distribution from the estate. And that will be, as I mentioned, in the plan process, and it will be disclosed as what are called distribution dates in the plan. Are any creditors adding guaranteed interest in their proof of claims? I'm certain many are. We have a substantial number of claims filed and a substantial amount in dollar amount of claims filed. By no means are they all going to be allowed in the amounts as filed. Many people probably, and we haven't studied them all yet, because the deadline hasn't even passed, are asserting, I'm sure, claims that will be objected to by the debtors. So the answer is likely, but that doesn't mean it'll be allowed. That doesn't mean the court will allow it or that the creditors and the committee or the debtors will agree to those amounts. How to see claim on Schedule A and L, or the Schedule of Assets and Liabilities. Those are on file. They're on the docket. The schedules of each of the debtors are on the Omni website. And you can search those and look for your name or your amount. But your claim as filed won't be on the schedules. That's separate from the assets and liabilities schedules filed by the debtors, if that's what that question refers to. Please forward a copy of the notes from the previous meeting since I did not get their notices. There are no notes that are certainly shareable. There are, however, there's a website, however, that somebody opened a whiteboard. I don't know who that is. I think, Amy, you might want to shut your whiteboard. Amy Kling. Thanks. So those are available on the website, as I mentioned, as recordings, and you can listen to those. How long will this restructuring take? I initially deposited $150,000, not $103,000, according to K1. Who do I talk to? I mentioned the restructuring. We're talking about the process. We're trying to get out as soon as we can, as we're hoping for. First quarter, second quarter of 2023. And your K1, again, Eisner, Amper, or the debtors. Where can one see their proof of claim in the system? That's something I wanted to mention earlier. Mike, maybe you can elaborate as well. That is that we did have an issue with Omni that we worked with Omni on. People had difficulty having access to see their claims and the ability to see that they were filed. And we worked with them to clear up a technical glitch, right, Mike? On that, can you just give a quick update as to what that resolution was?
Sure, and I'm going to share my screen here. They have told us that they have resolved the issue. If you are still having trouble viewing your claim on Omni, then please let us know. But in order to view the proof of claim docket, the way you would do that on the Omni website is, again, you come to this claims tab, and you go to proof of claim docket. When you open that up, it gives you this search criteria. It says that as of right now, there are 2,872 claims filed. That's quite a number. But that counts every individual claim that has been filed. So if somebody has filed a proof of claim, then they filed an amendment, or if they filed a claim against 6 different debtors, each one of those would count individually. Then, you know, in order to, you would fill this in with whatever your name is. I'm not going to call anybody out here by filling in their name, but I'll just hit submit. and this will basically go through all of the proofs of claim that have been filed. I'll just open this first one here really quickly. It gives you the date it was filed, the amount it was filed, the case number in which it was filed. And then there should be, that is the end. If I go to the end, I wonder if I can do this. Yeah, so you can just go through the claims that way. And then here it gives you this information up top, which is just basically the summary of the claims that have been filed. Now, I know everybody's going to look at this and say that there have been $2.4 billion in claims that have been filed. But keep in mind that if somebody files a $100,000 claim, if somebody invested $100,000 in the fund and they filed a claim against the parent, against National Realty LLC, against the fund, against a property debtor, against a manager debtor, against everybody there, that would count as, you know, if they filed 10 different claims against 10 different debtors, that would show up on here as them having $1 million in claims, but they would only be entitled to $100,000 in claims. And so don't pay too much attention to this number, because this is just the complete gross number of how much has been filed in claims. It doesn't have any reconciliation. It doesn't have any, you know, deletion of duplicate claims. So that's not the real number. But that is how you search for claims. So I guess one last thing I'll show you. If you know your claim number, then you can put that in here. You put your claim number right here, and you can search by your claim number if that would be quicker. So that is that.
Thanks, Mike. If one desires to file against more than one debtor, how is this done? I think we addressed that on the discussion. How to confirm my claim was received or accepted? I think there's some questions in the chat box as well about that. I attempted to answer one just now. You can go on Omni, I believe, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, and see if your claim is filed by checking on the website. And you'll know then. You should, however, also receive, I believe, if you sent it in by mail, a written confirmation from Omni. It may take some time, but you should be able to get that in the mail. How would claim be treated differently for pre-fund properties? That is a completely legal issue. As I mentioned, it's also the same category as the others. It will be treated under the plan, and it's part of a legal analysis ongoing with the debtors right now and all advisors on how to deal with those claims. Do the creditors need to have lawyers to defend our case, or just submitting the claims form is sufficient? That's one of those live wires for lawyers. You have to decide if you want to have a lawyer yourself. I wouldn't tell you not to have a lawyer. If you want to have a lawyer, have a lawyer. If you are comfortable with your proof of claim is filed and no objection is filed, you don't necessarily need a lawyer, but that's your individual decision. Will projects be completed to maximize return to investors? Will the guaranteed 12% return on investment be considered in what is owed? The second question on return of investment, that is, again, a legal issue in negotiation with the debtors. So no resolution on that. You'll see it in the plan disclosure statement. Will projects be completed to maximize return to investors? That is part of the real estate analysis that is being done by the debtors and the CRO, with the advice and consultation of the committee, including Alvarez, on the properties. It is anticipated that certain properties will be developed, to answer your question, to maximize the returns. What is the current status of the proceedings? When can we expect investment, promise, interest, or return? I just talked about that. Should we have been notified if our claim has an error? 1.5 billion in secured claims I'm showing on the Omni site. Is that accurate? What you're seeing may be accurate as to what's on the website. That doesn't mean those are allowed claims, as I mentioned. Many of these claims will be objected to and will be adjusted. I don't think there are 1.5 billion in secured claims, so that will be addressed. But we'll review those. If your claim has been filed in error, I don't know if Omni sends out anything, for example, if there's a technical error, but if your claim is inaccurate, meaning the debtor doesn't agree or it doesn't agree that the amount is owed, that's not necessarily going to get noticed now. It will be later. But if there's a technical error, I don't know if Omni would be doing anything in terms of noticing. So check with on the Omni website if your claim is filed properly. What is the status of property sales, debt that is required for the completion of the property sales, and the disposition of funds received? There have been a number of properties that have been sold. The proceeds are, some have been in excess of $10 million, and it was testified at the 341 meeting of creditors. Their proceeds are being held in part reserved because of the order that was submitted early on to not dispose of the proceeds or mix the proceeds, commingle them. They're being held by the debtors. They are on, as I mentioned, with the sale process motion that's on for January 3rd, there is a motion pending for that process for the sale of properties going forward. I'm going to skip duplicate questions if you can bear with me. What is the status of 494 7th Avenue, Brooklyn? Did third unit sell yet? Will proceeds go to escrow or be dedicated to investors in this property? We do know the answer to that, but I'm not sure we're at liberty yet to discuss some of that. But it's a specific issue. We can address that perhaps separately. Will attorney fees eat all the assets? The answer is no, and we won't let that happen. Construction and sales update, we gave you some of that the best we could at the current time. Status of schedules to be provided by NRA, they've been filed, as I mentioned, they're all on the docket on Omni. You can see them there. If you need, you can search the Omni website and see them. Next question, I have two accounts and only find one in the schedules, but I have two K-1s. Is this a problem? Whether or not the debtor's schedules reflect all your investments, it's important to look to see if that occurs, but if they don't, file a proof of claim for what you believe is owed for the other investments. If it's not reflected on the schedules, it doesn't matter. File your proof of claim if you believe you have a debt or an investment for that claim. Don't hesitate. What the debtor filed on its schedules is informative. It's not necessarily binding on prohibiting you from filing a proof of claim in any way. I am not in the portfolio funds, but an investor who did not receive funds from a sold property, 227 Berkeley. None of this has been addressed. If you have, that is, if you're not an investor, but you have a claim for monies owed you for any other reason, contract breach, diversion, whatever it may be, you can file a proof of claim for the amount you believe you are owed. If they were supposed to pay you something pursuant to a contract for whatever it is, you're entitled to file a proof of claim. This is not just for investors in the fund. Town hall audios or videos are recorded and are posted on the Omni website, as I mentioned. All right, so those are basically the questions we have listed. Let's see if there is any in the chat area that aren't duplicative. One is, both of my investments have a guarantee of payment signed by Ray Gravato. Could I be added to the lawsuit? The lawsuit that's pending is by the debtor against Gravato for a very narrow issue. I think what you're referring to is a claim on your investment against these individuals. No one is stayed or prohibited from suing any of these individuals. No automatic stay is put in place to prohibit anyone from suing Gravato, Sozzano individually. The only effect of the bankruptcy is to prohibit lawsuits against the company, NRIA and its affiliated debtors, because of the automatic stay that is imposed by 362 of the bankruptcy code upon filing. That's why there's a claim process in lieu of those lawsuits, et cetera, to allow claimants to file their claims. The debtor is exploring claims. As I mentioned, we are exploring claims, many claims that we will be bringing or pursuing or investigating against all of these individuals and other entities to recover for all of you, theoretically, the creditors and investors, for the benefit of this estate. And that will be something to be recovered in short order in pursuant to a litigation, pursuant to the plan and disclosure statement. Will investors be paid off in this restructuring, even if NRA continues to operate after restructuring? The objective here and the sole purpose of NRA continuing at this point is to repay investors. It is not going to continue under the current facts as we know them and the current negotiations and the current management. It's not going to revive itself as a new investment company. The purpose of this company now is to take its assets, take its real estate, maximize their value by development or otherwise, and pursue claims against others to maximize your return. There will be a distribution, we believe, in this case to investors, and that the only question is how big can we make that in that distribution to you? And that's the objective here of everyone on this call. If the NRA executives are found guilty of fraud, will the courts go after their personal assets to make us whole? The courts won't, but in other words, the courts will be the vehicle and forum in which we litigate to recover the assets for you. The debtors, as I mentioned, currently only have that standing. You have standing to sue them, but if we are granted this standing pursuant to the plan, we intend to pursue those claims against those individuals and will pursue their personal assets for sure. And all funds they might have received and transferred to others, we will chase back. So in other words, what are called subsequent transferees. If they got cash and then pass it off someplace else, or they pass cash to somebody else and then it ultimately got to them to hide the money path, we will chase that money. And that's what we're doing right now as we speak. I'm trying to make sure we don't have any duplicative questions here. As to those vendors of NRA that are downstream, what is your thoughts as to likelihood of collection of those payments? Vendors, I believe, and downstream, I suspect you mean, for example, at the property levels, those will be treated in accordance with their priority under the bankruptcy code. If you are entitled to distribution from a particular property level debtor entity, and you're entitled as a matter of law to a treatment that is senior, then you'll be receiving that payment. But that is part of the term sheet and part of what we're working out with the debtors. Okay, I think we're pretty good on some of these questions. Many of them are highly duplicative. So I think we'll wrap it up. With that, I want to thank everyone for your time. We have gone over by 15 minutes, so I apologize for that. But we will have another forum on the February town hall to address these issues. We'll have an update on claims. We'll have an update on the plan. And we'll have hopefully much more material information on the investigation. So thank you all very much. And best of luck to you all. And happy holidays to everyone on this call. And we will see you soon. Thank you all.